Megan and Nat, are you there? Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. This is rad. Okay. So we've got Megan Claflin from Give Jefferson and Nat Jacob from board president of the Clemente Foundation in Jefferson County. I'm going to turn it over to Megan. Megan, tell us why we're here. Tell us why we're talking. What's happening?
Absolutely. Thanks, Paul. So I'm Megan Claflin. I'm the development director for the Production Alliance. We're a local nonprofit. We're dedicated to building community through celebration. And this year, we're proud partners with United Good Neighbors to support Give Jefferson and raise awareness around essential programs and safety net services and the organizations that work tirelessly to provide those needed and necessities to those most in need in our community.
Rad. That's so you don't work for Give Jefferson, but you work for the Production Alliance, which is helping to promote these causes right now.
Yeah, it's just another one of those fantastic things about the Jefferson County community. We get to innovate and we get to collaborate and partner amongst the nonprofits to help increase our impact in the community.
And when I met you, Megan, you were a journalist for The Leader, right? And you've run the full gamut of different kind of public relations in Port Townsend and Jefferson County, huh?
Yeah, I think like any elder millennial in town, I go where I'm needed, and I have some skill and some forte in communications, in marketing, in event and program project management, different pieces. So my Production Alliance and my partners and stuff, we kind of go where we're needed to help other organizations build up their capacity for reaching out to the community. And in this case, we are with United Good Neighbors helping out Give Jefferson. Give Jefferson has a long history of being a fundraising campaign here in the community. United Good Neighbors is the United Way of Jefferson County, and all of the money raised through the campaign stays right here locally to help our local nonprofits serve our vulnerable populations.
Well, that seems like all good news to me. And we have to also say welcome back to Megan, who tried to leave but found that Chetsumoka's curse is still a real thing and cannot escape the beautiful confines of Port Townsend, Washington.
Yeah, the vortex sucked me right back in. I held off as long as I could. I think I've been gone about a year, and then I heard the call, and back I came.
We kept a place for you. We kept your seat warm. I don't know what that means. Well, can you introduce your and my other guest for us today that we're spotlighting?
Absolutely. So I'm really happy to partner with Nat Jacob today. Nat is the board president for the Jefferson Clemente Foundation. And I'll let him talk more about the foundation. But I think what I find so amazing about Clemente is that there really is a need for higher education here in our rural Olympic Peninsula community. We've got kind of K-12 covered with our public school systems and our private school systems, and then folks graduate. And what do you do? Where do you go to kind of make that next step in your personal development, in your professional development? And Clemente is really stepping up to offer some diverse and some really interesting programming to help people, kind of do what they want to do.
Thank you. And Nat, last time I saw you, Nat, I was thrown out of a jury selection process.
That's right. Yeah, not by me. I would have loved for you to serve on my jury.
Might have been a little impropriety there, but I just want to say that Nat invoked Judge Dredd in one of his speeches in front of the potential jurors, and my heart skipped a beat, just like it did when I first met Nat Jacob in Sirens after I think he did some stand-up comedy at an open mic. Now we're here under, you know, somewhat different circumstances, but big fan of Nat Jacob. Nat, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and about Clemente?
Well, first of all, let's handle the preliminaries here. Thank you for having me, Paul, and thank you so much, Megan, for organizing this and for all the good work that you and TPA and also UGN, of course, are doing for our community and for all of our local nonprofits. We don't know where we'd be without you. I also want to thank Megan for her use of a new term that I'm going to borrow in my lexicon, elder millennial. I didn't realize that I self-identify by that term, so henceforth I'll be using it. And Paul, I want to thank you for having me on. I've been trying to get on Filter ever since you started. I've been listening jealously to other friends and in some cases family members, household members, be interviewed on your show, and I've wanted to get on for a long time, so thank you for having me. And if I might add, that little kind of heart palpitation that you had at Sirens, oh, those many years ago, was likely the result of the Gorgonzola on the house burger, and less about my stand-up routine. went over about as well as it usually does, and there's a reason I'm not doing stand-up comedy anymore. But I do appreciate the endorsement. That's very nice of you. So thank you for having me on.
Yeah, no, it's my pleasure. And I was expecting some kind of bribe after the show in terms of bigging up your comedy. But you should, let's be fair, we've talked about you a lot on this show, just never had you on, and it's true. And I think your wife, Ariel, maybe even messaged me and said, you know, Nat really wants to be on your show. And maybe that's why I didn't call you immediately.
Well, she had to get out of the way for me today because Megan had originally asked her to be on the show.
Oh, yeah. So basically you just used your right, the right of prima appearance. I don't know. I was going to say prima nocte, but we all know that's something else.
I haven't exercised that right.
Have you ever made a speech to a jury about prima nocte?
No, but I think I'll incorporate it into the next one.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, hopefully it's just a beginning of a long personal relationship that really is only on the show, because it seems like half the time I catch up with my friends on this show as much as I have guests on.
Well, that's the Rona for you.
That's right. I mean, someday we'll all be able to be in here in the studio spraying droplets over each other with abandon.
I can't wait.
Yeah, me neither. Well, let's talk about the Clemente, is it foundation, organization? What
is
it? Why is it important?
I'm sticking with JCF, Jefferson Clemente Foundation, which of course shares its acronym with the Jefferson Community Foundation. And so there's sometimes a little bit of confusion. But we call ourselves Clemente, kind of colloquially, although that is the name of our kind of mothership organization, which I guess I'll kind of start there. Clemente was founded back in the 1990s by a guy named Earl Shoris, who is a popular sociologist at the time and somebody who's well-known in the academic communities. He's died many years ago now, but he published a lot of work around that time and leading up to the foundation of Clemente, because he had been inspired by one inmate in particular. He'd been doing interviews with inmates during a part of his sociology career, just trying to figure out basically what are the circumstances under which poverty occurs and kind of replicates itself over the generations. And this inmate gave him a very honest and kind of epiphanous answer for him, and that is that, you know, we don't go to cultural events. We don't go to the symphony. We don't go to museums. And that got him thinking about, poverty in a different way. And so what he did is he created a program, which we now call Clemente, because it started at the Roberto Clemente Community Center in Harlem, I think. A program that was designed to bring the humanities to the poor. And he had no qualms about using that term, the poor. He has a very famous essay called The Restless Poor. That's all about kind of the surround of force, all of these things that surround poor people in America that cause them to continue to live in poverty. Mm. And so Clemente is all about bringing the joy and the enlightenment of the humanities in particular to people of modest and limited means, so that they can use those tools to get out of that surrounding force, essentially. Mm. And so Jefferson Clemente is a part of that organization. We have a couple of very important distinctions that make us really unique. One is that we're the only rural course out of 30-plus courses that are run nationwide. We're also the only course that relies on donations within our community and doesn't rely on a partner or host organization. We are our own 501c3 organization. We have a board. It's a bunch of local people, many of whom are elder millennials, like myself and Megan. And we run the organization and fund the organization based on the donations and generosity of members of our community. So
that's great. Is there a particular curriculum that's the Clemente that you guys teach? Is there one that comes from on high, or is it something that's established by independent splinter groups?
Well, it's a really good question. So it's interesting because right now we're in a period of major transition, much like many other organizations, due to COVID and what's keeping us all kind of physically distant from one another. And so the answer to your question is ideally yes. The curriculum consists in the full course, which is a 6-credit course. And I should mention, we have a number of partner organizations, including Bard College, which donates our credits to our students. So these are college-level courses taught by college-level instructors in these 6 disciplines, ideally. U.S. history, philosophy, literature, writing. It might be 5 disciplines, and art history. And so those are in a full course of 6 credits. That's what you get, is instruction kind of in block format in those different disciplines. Lately, we've been running kind of limited courses for 2 or 3 credits, and that's in part due to what's going on in the world, in part due to the fact that we're kind of rebuilding ourselves as an organization and entity here locally, and doing what we can to support our community through our mission. What we plan for next year is very much up in the air right now. But yes, the syllabus has to be approved by the mothership organization of Clemente and submitted for approval there.
Got it. So is there like an income qualification for taking these classes? Can anybody take these classes? You know, what's the criteria for entry?
So if you can read a newspaper, you know, if you can read the Port Townsend Leader, you don't have to read it well, but if you know what the words mean, and you are, you know, basically below the poverty line, although we don't make people prove it, then you can be in our course. Wow. It used to be that we only accepted people 18 or older. That's changed a little bit because of not just COVID, but even prior to COVID, we found that there was a real need among older high school students and in having other opportunities for kind of, you know, running start type of stuff. And so Clemente can provide college level instruction for those folks as well. I should say before I forget that if you'd like to apply, you can go to jeffcoclemente.com or you can email our email is Jefferson County Clemente. Let me make sure I get this right because I'm on live radio here.
You're the board president.
I know, but I'm the outgoing. And Paul, you have to give me a break.
Okay. Outgoing, fine.
I should mention, as I'm saying that we have a very able, capable, and experienced board president that's going to be taking over for me at the end of the year. And that's somebody that I'm sure is known to you, Stephen Sklar.
Oh, yes.
Another, maybe not elder millennial, but millennial.
He's a lesser millennial. No, I don't want to call him lesser.
I wouldn't call him that.
He's lower? Lower? Yeah. Younger doesn't sound
maybe,
as good.
Maybe a younger millennial.
Millennial the younger.
So let me see. Jefferson County Clemente. I always get, it's like Jeffco Clemente. That's our website, by the way. is Jeffco Clemente, JeffersonClemente.org. Sorry. If you can get there, if you can manage to navigate these confusing messages, you can actually donate to our organization, or you can send us an email about whether you'd like to be a prospective student. There's a prospective students tab with its very own button that you can press to apply for our course. And we're hoping to start February, maybe March 2021, but we're shooting for February at this point.
So, I mean, can the syllabus has to be approved by the top bosses at Clemente, but it, you know, does it span, you know, from like ancient philosophers to more modern texts? You know, what's is there some text that's always presented? You know, I don't know. Is there anything you can speak to on the course material like that?
Well, that's an excellent question, Paul. And actually, we've had classic philosophy taught in the course for many, many years by an instructor by the name of Sidney Keegan. We've also had modern philosophy taught more recently by our current academic director, Shelley Chamberlain. And, you know, it's not so much a because these courses are kind of like an amalgam now, the way they're mushed together. It's not as if it's a specific period that's taught at once. Like, you don't go in on a certain day and, oh, this hour is going to be devoted to philosophy and the next hour is going to be devoted to history. It's not so much like that, although ideally in our kind of block system, when we do have the full course running, we like to do that, where it's, you know, 2 hours of history and then on Monday, and then on Wednesday maybe it's 2 hours of philosophy or art history or what have you. What I to answer your question, with the world changing the way it is and the way it has been, you know, some of our courses are taking on a little bit more of a modern bent. So, but the lessons of Plato and the early philosophers and early art historians and humanities greats around the disciplines are still very much valid today, and things that we could really take something away from in our modern age.
No doubt,
they're timeless. So those are kind of the classic representations of what are taught.
Well, I want to talk in the second half of our interview about COVID pivots and maybe Judge Dredd again, but you brought a song for us today. Megan and Nat agreed that Nat would get the song choice, so it's not a democratic process, it was consensus. So next time we have you back on, Megan, you get to choose, but I am also satisfied with Nat's choice here. Nat, would you like to introduce these hometown legends to us?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a band from Seattle that many of you have probably heard. It's going to be kind of blast from the past for a lot of kind of Gen Xers in town in particular. But this is a metal band called Queensryche, and this song is called Revolution Calling. And speaking of timely, I think it's very timely.
All you
take it away, Paul.
All you elder Gen Xers, listen up. Here's Queensryche, Revolution Calling. We'll be right back to talk to Nat and Megan some more. That's a message. Thank you, Queensryche, circa, God, what year was that?
1988.
88. Man, I was 6 years old. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for the truth. You were two? Man.
I listened to a lot of Queensryche when I was two, though. I mean, I was an angsty child, so.
That's rad. Well, yeah, you turned out well because of it, Megan.
Yeah.
it's that good quality education makes a difference, right? You know, that's why we're talking about Clemente today. Musical education, you know, like if you got babies out there, I hope you played that Queensryche song for them. Help them understand. I did some, you know, math rap earlier today that hopefully put some number games into your children's heads and help them understand math a little better. I should just do an all children's music episode of Filter. But I would probably kill myself.
I got some cuts for you.
Yeah, I'll bet you do, Dad. What's your favorite children's song to play at home?
Right now it's a song that I like to sing to my child called Train Whistle Blowin'.
Can you sing it for us now since we're live?
Well, it might put you to sleep.
Well, can you give us 10 seconds of Train Whistle Blowing?
I'll give you a refrain.
Okay.
In my sweet melodic dulcets here. Hold on. So, train whistle blowing makes a sleepy noise. Bedtime for babies and little girls and boys. It's actually by a local musician by the name of Jerry Canote. If you're out there in listening land, Jerry, big shout out to you.
Wow. That is effective. You weren't kidding. I'm really glad you didn't sing any more of that because this show would have been over.
Man, if I had gotten into the whole lyric about being bound for Morningtown, then we would have all fallen asleep.
Oh my God. That's so cute. Oh God. Well, tell Jerry thank you from me and to please send me the lyrics and maybe a version of Sing so I can use it on myself.
You know, I've been trying to find the lyrics online. These guys are actually pretty famous musicians. He and his twin brother, Greg, I'm going to go down a little bit of a rabbit hole here. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah. Please do. That's what we're all about.
So I was, as a child, and I think my parents, at least one of my many parents is listening right now, but as a child, I was introduced to the joy of contra dance at a camp called Lady of the Lake Family Dance Camp on Lake Coeur d'Alene. And I went there for 7 years as a kid. And the Canote brothers were a big, big deal there, especially among we children, we small folk. And anyway, so that's one of their originals. But they're super prolific.
Can we talk about contra dance before we go past that?
I was going to blow right past that.
No, you don't get to. You don't get to. You know, I mean, I went to Folklife Festival in Seattle all the time growing up as a kid. But I remember every time I went past the contra dance, and it was always huge at Folklife. And maybe it's just because I had, you know, some social anxieties growing up and, you know, like, you know, there wasn't a lot of dancing happening in my family. But I was just terrified. I would see the huge rooms of people dancing, and they all knew the steps and they all knew what they were doing. And it was like I had stumbled on this mass delusion. I see it now. It still like kind of terrifies me. So what was it? Do you have fond memories of it? Has it influenced your life in a positive way?
You know, step into the chaos, or the organized chaos, as it were. I have very fond memories. It's very formative. And what I'll say for anyone out there who's, you know, going to be at Folklife back when we have things like that again, and you're passing by the contra tent, go on in, because all that, what you perceived as, you know, everyone knowing the steps, well, it's a called dance format. So what it means is that you can walk into that tent or, you know, dance hall or our local Grange out on Silver, and not know the first thing about any kind of dance, much less contra. And they teach you at the beginning of every song. So everyone stands there and listens and actually kind of acts out like a little tutorial prior to each song, which is what makes it such a great, delightful community kind of thing. When I think of contra dance and my experience with it, I have very fond memories. But then when I saw the movie A Mighty Wind, you may be familiar with it.
Yes.
It really kind of brought me back to that culture. It's kind of a folky culture, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
A lot of felt hats worn per capita.
Felt hats are important in this town.
Felt hats matter.
Felt hats matter. Well, contra dance is a perfect seg because I, you know, now that I'm thinking about these massive contra dances at Folklife, I'm also thinking about, like, I mean, have you guys been watching movies and TV shows pre-pandemic? And, like, there's this new level of anxiety that you feel.
Yeah.
And it's uncomfortable because it's like, you know, that was before the pandemic. Why should we be imprinting our current anxieties onto these old world artifacts?
Well, I think we'd have to bring in some sort of behavioral psychologist on that one. I don't deign to speak to that, but I feel the same thing.
Well, in terms of Clemente, now you have to do all your courses via Zoom, I'm assuming, or some other conferencing.
Yes, that's a good segue into why what UGN and the Give Jefferson campaign specifically is doing right now is so important, so urgent. So we, like many other organizations, had to make a leap. Unlike many organizations, we had to literally do it on day one of the governor's order. We were slated to start our course in mid-March of this year, and we know that that's right when Jay Inslee made his big public proclamation. Fortunately, we had somebody running the show. I mentioned her before, Shelley Chamberlain, our academic director, who was agile and creative and able to kind of on the fly transition us into an all online format like everything else. And it proved to be a really shrewd choice. So this last year's course was taught via Zoom. Now, that wasn't the right thing for everyone. And we lost a lot of students who had been promised this, you know, or, you know, ideally we were going to be in the classroom like we have been for the past 20 years. But so that didn't work for them. And
can I stop you there just to ask, like, is it, you think it didn't work because of a lack of access to, the ability to stream the meetings, or just sort of a lack of interest, or, you know, and I'll be the first to admit that a Zoom meeting is extraordinarily hard for me to be a decent participant in.
So initially both, to answer your question. However, one of the things that was so special about what we were able to do as an organization, and again, with the crucial financial assistance of organizations like UGN and private donors, we were able to actually eliminate the former barrier that you mentioned, that is the technology issues, by remedying that by buying things like laptops and hotspots for our students who needed them. But also, that didn't, of course, that didn't remedy everything, because there's nothing quite like in-person, physically, you know, in-person instruction. And that's not something that we're able to take on right now, just like anyone with any sense should know. And that's why it's been so crucial to have partners like UGN in this process, because they've been able to really support us in making that leap to technology and being able to provide those resources. I think this is a good time for me to mention that one of the things that makes Clemente as an organization, both nationally and locally, so special is that we are a barrier-free program. That means we provide childcare for our students during their classes. We provide transportation, such as it's needed. That budget has not been used this last year, as you can imagine. Mm. But we also provide books and or, in this case, electronic resources, so that there are literally no barriers, at least, you know, that money can buy, for our students to be able to attend our classes. And that's a big part of the Clemente model, and something we cherish here in our organization. And we're very proud of that.
Yeah, go ahead, Megan.
If I can build off of that, I think what Nat is speaking to and what Clemente has done such a good job of exemplifying is that Clemente, like the other 27 partner organizations in Give Jefferson this year, they have all been operating for, I would say, you know, a consistent period of time. They have been consistently coming to the aid of those in need in Jefferson County. But the extraordinary impacts of COVID triggered this unprecedented demand for aid. And it really challenged our local organizations to not only rapidly respond with the programs and the services familiar to them, but it challenged them to be innovative and to adapt to these new challenges and new needs, like, okay, well, how do we get people to gather and get the resources to folks when we're social distancing? You know, how do we make sure that folks have, you know, good access to Wi-Fi and to the tools that they need? How do we make sure that we maintain that sense of community while we're apart from one another? So, you know, it's kind of that sense is that I think that there sometimes is this idea, we have a picture in our mind of who the vulnerable communities, the vulnerable people are in our communities. And certainly we talk about low income and the poverty level. We talk about homelessness and transient populations. We talk about senior citizens on limited incomes. But with COVID, and especially, you know, once again into this new round of shutdowns, we are facing high levels of unemployment and underemployment. Mm-hmm. So the people that are benefiting from programs like Clemente, from programs that are benefiting from Give Jefferson, those are the folks you see every day. They are restaurant and hospitality workers. They are retail and customer service workers. They're skilled laborers. They're tradespeople. They're farmers who are, you know, trying to weather this uncertainty and recover from this additional crisis that COVID has created for us. So I think that Jefferson County is a community that is defined by its tradition of generous giving. And I think now more than ever, folks can go on to givejefferson.org. They can learn about these partner organizations. They can see the innovative work that they're doing, and they can kind of have their spirits renewed in a sense of how you can help your neighbor, your friend, the family, you know, down the street today with problems that are really quite new, and not feel any kind of donor fatigue or charitable fatigue and out around it. There is new and critical needs like right now today.
So that's, if you want to help, they people can go to givejefferson.org. And if they want to help,
so givejefferson.org.
And if they want to help the Clemente course in particular, they'll find the Clemente course listed under the donate button.
Absolutely.
That's correct.
So United Good Neighbors, so you can go ahead and go on to givejefferson.org, and you have two opportunities to give. So from December 14th to December 31st is kind of our six-week run of Give Jefferson, when all of the local donations will be matched by All in Washington, which is a statewide relief effort. So if you donate now between November 14th and the end of the year, December 31st, your $10 donation is going to turn into $20. Your $100 donation is going to turn into $200, $1,000, you know, $2,000. So now is the time to donate, to make the truly amplify the impact of your giving. And you can either, one, give to the general fund of UGN. You can just go on, you can click donate now, you can put your information in there. The general fund has been dispersed amongst our 28 partner organizations for this year to help meet their financial needs and their operational goals. Or you can go on to the partners page, which is, again, listed at givejefferson.org, and you can click on unique URLs for any one of the organizations, say like Clemente, and you can direct your dollars directly to that organization, and those dollars will be matched, you know, if made between now and the 31st.
Well, we're almost out of time. Thank you, Megan, for that. Nat, on the outro, I guess, what do you see? I mean, you've been the board president, you're outgoing, but you got involved in Clemente for a reason. And personally, where do you see, and also, you know, maybe serving as a defense attorney or as a state appointed defense attorney, where do you see the value of the kind of education that Clemente provides in terms of a person's life?
That's a really good question. And I'm glad that you asked it, Paul, because I have seen this program not just through the eyes of a board member of the organization, but also through the eyes of my clients. And, you know, as somebody who's represented several people who have had their lives transformed by the Clemente program, I mean, they've reported to me, you know, individuals through a wide range of backgrounds who have taken the course have reported to me that, you know, it has allowed them to feel like they have dignity for the first time, for some first time in their lives since they've been an adult. And it's given them power. It's empowered them to do things like apply for jobs that they didn't think that they would ever be qualified for. Things like voting for the first time, going to a museum or a community event, having their voice heard at a city council meeting or a county commissioner's meeting, and feeling like they belong. And this most recent course was called Wayfinding and Belonging, and it was all about that you know, infusing folks with that kind of inner strength that they had all along, but that just hadn't been unlocked. Michelangelo, the famous painter and sculpture artist, talked about the David when, you know, when people were asking him, you know, interviewers, Paul Rice's of the time in Florence, I imagine, were asking him questions about how he could conceive of such beauty and execute it. And he said, you know, it was in the rock. It was in the stone all along, and all I did was unlock it.
Mm.
And so that's kind of how we feel about our students, is that they have this potential. And that all we need to do is quiet that surrounding force for long enough and provide them with the resources to be able to unlock that potential that they all have within them. And so, you know, in this world that's increasingly chaotic with the COVID pandemic, with crises of addiction and poverty and overwhelming debt that people are facing and contact with the legal system, I can't think of anything more important, and of course I'm biased, but more important than what our organization has to offer. It increases people's civic engagement. It increases their ability to be able to take on all of those things in their lives that would cause them grief, and it increases their human dignity and humanity. So I just want to kind of sign off with that and let everyone know that they can donate to our organization either through the Give Jefferson campaign, which we would prefer them to do at this point in time. But year-round, you can donate on our website as well. And your gifts really do make a huge difference. You'll see on the website there are examples of how much just the smallest gift can do for the lives of one of our students. So give generously and give Clemente the rest of the organization.
Well, thank you both so much for being here, Nat Jacob and Megan Claflin. We'll have both of you on again soon. I promise, Nat, it'll be faster this time because I think we have a lot to talk about, and we'll definitely have Megan on again to feature another group that you can support soon. So thank you both for being here, and I hope you have a great day.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
Take care.